Hello, Dave.
Hello, John.
Today we recount the charge sheet of things that other people and the law wish we hadn't done.
Oh dear, oh dear. Skeletons coming out from closets and cupboards now.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, everybody knows that you are known as the Escobar of Lichfield. And of course, I run a massive protection racket throughout the West Country. But we're looking back at history, not current crimes.
Your cider or your life, is it?
Exactly. We're looking back at naughty and silly things.
Yes, yeah. I don't think either of us are really the law-breaking type that would make headlines, are we?
You know, no, everybody's broken the law. I mean, anybody who drives has broken the law because you've always, you know, driven faster than you should have done, haven't you?
Absolutely, but, as I found out to my cost recently when I had to attend a speed awareness course.
Exactly. Well, I can beat you on that one because I've never done that, I'm glad to say. But, you know, we've got things that we did together in the past, chief amongst me, which, of course, is going to be the story of the penguins, isn't
the
it?
The penguins, the famous penguins. Well, famous amongst our friends anyway, yes. And
yes.
Soon to become, hopefully, famous among other people.
Would you like to tell the story of that one, Dave?
Well, I can certainly start it off, and I'm sure you'll chime in as well. It takes us back, of course, to when we were in our teens, late teens, I suppose, and we used to go out in friends' cars to go to various pubs. Presumably, I would imagine sometimes when we weren't really old enough anyway, so there's your first instance of a bit of law breaking. And we used to drive out to one of the places on the Dorset coast, West Bettington, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And someone noticed, it may well have been you, John, I have to say, that in a garden of a very nice bungalow type property with a lovely sort of lawn at the front, the owners had positioned various polystyrene creatures, shall we say.
Carved chief, from polystyrene, yes.
Chief among them being the penguins. And, I think we took a fancy to these, didn't we, to say the least.
There were a lot on the lawn, weren't there? They were also painted. It has to be. They weren't just shapes.
Yes.
So that the penguins were painted polystyrene black, and they were all stuck onto the lawn on spikes that they stood upright. I mean, I can remember there was also a flamingo, which which had a couple of sort of wooden stick legs. I can't remember any other animals. But we obviously coveted these, didn't we?
I think we noticed them because they weren't garden gnomes, were they?
They were
something rather different.
Yes.
We did decide that it may be time for some of them to leave the confines of the garden and go exploring.
Yes. And so we used to stop on the way back from the pub and take one. The penguin was famous because we took it with us to a Reading festival and stuck it on a tent pole so that we could identify where we were sitting during the day. But I also remember that we once, because we'd taken several over the course of some weeks, we once took one back and put it, I think it may have been a penguin, and stuck it back on the lawn on a vacant spike on its head. And I just thought, that must have really messed with the person who lived in the bungalow, because he thought, not only are they taking them, but they're bringing them back.
Yes. And of course, the said penguin, when it was at the Reading Festival, attracted the attention of, well, some people who said they were the drug squad, didn't they?
They did.
I don't know if they'd actually heard that a penguin would be the beacon for people to come and buy their drugs, or they just decided it was a bit suspicious to see a penguin on top of the tent, or whether
Yeah.
we actually weren't drug squad people at all and had just come to see if we had anything they could nick, basically.
Possibly they weren't, no. And I remember another consequence of drinking. When we went out to another pub, we usually had two cars worth, didn't we? About sort of
Yes.
six of us. We went out to another pub, and one of our number, so I won't name him as Robin, but there you go. He as we were leaving the pub, he went out to the gents, which was an outside gent.
Absolutely.
When he joined us in the car, he was holding a light bulb,
Yes.
which he had taken from the gent for no particular reason. I don't know why he did it. And we drove down the road, and he said suddenly in a loud voice, "Stop." And so we stopped the car, and he got out of the car and he took the light bulb. And we had stopped next to a property with a garage, and he threw the light bulb and smashed it against the garage door. You remember that?
I do. I remember it well. I remember us also saying, all those poor blokes who are coming out the toilet, they go to the toilet from the pub, and they're finding that they can't see what they're doing and will all have basically peed on their shoes by the time they come back.
Well, apart from the poor man with the garage, you then had to sweep up bits of shattered light bulb.
Bits of
Yeah.
glass on the front, absolutely.
I'm not sure that's law breaking. Well, probably is to take a light bulb. It was pretty silly, I suppose. And
Oh, very,
I
very
guess
silly.
you'd have to say that possibly I wish I hadn't, because it was just slightly irresponsible, it was not major illegality, but I
No,
think, you know.
no. And of course, under illegality comes, shall we say, petty pilfering. Petty
Yes.
pilfering's always quite a bit of fun, or used to seem
Shoplifting.
confederate. I mean, being as you know, a bit of a goody-goody, I very, very rarely, I can only think of one major, I say major occasion where I actually took something from somewhere. And that was when I was actually working in one of the petrol stations I worked in. And I coveted, I don't think I've told you this before. I coveted a tire gauge, a little silver one. Have I told you this?
No,
I don't
it's a
think so. Now,
strange thing.
in the garage where I worked, there was one of these display things that you twizzled round, and it had various things for cars, like air fresheners and bits of like polishing cloths and things like that. And one of the things that I just coveted for some reason was this silver tire pressure gauge, which basically you pushed onto the tire and it blew the end out and had a reading on for what your pressure was in the tire. Absolutely no use to me whatsoever because I didn't own a car. I thought it was like a shiny thing, which I thought was quite pleasant, really. And I looked at this as I was working there over the weeks, and eventually I thought, do you know, if I slip that into my pocket, and then move everything randomly, nobody will know it's gone, because basically I don't think anybody ever bought these things. So I did, and I took it home with me. Now, the only problem with this was that I shared the shop part of the garage with the owner's minor bird. The minor bird was, it only had a few phrases it said, but it had very beady eyes that followed you everywhere as you were walking around. And because I was there on my own, it occurred to me that the minor bird was judging me and had seen me take the tire pressure gauge. And although it only really said things like Jack's gone down the white horse, and my name's, I think it was Lucky or something like that, I had this horrible feeling that it was going to one day say, "He's taken the pressure gauge."
Dave took it.
I was so guilty about it that, yes, I took it back and I
You
hung
should
it back on the thing, and thought, I can't stand the guilt.
have taken the minor bird. That would have been
I
a
should
real
have. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably shoplifting was a kind of a rite of passage, wasn't it? Mind shoplifting. I'm talking about stealing sweeties from Woolworths or something like that. I mean, probably when I was a shopkeeper myself later on, I would have, I mean, I did catch a few people shoplifting and I was quite offended actually. But yeah, I mean, it was just a thing you did when you were a kid, really. There was a famous bookshop in London, I don't know if it's still there, called Foyles, and it was reckoned to be the place where everybody, every student went and nicked books. I mean, it was so easy because their surveillance was hopeless. And I think I possibly took a book from Foyles at some stage, but I can't precisely remember. I was going to come back to Robin again because we're talking about shoplifting. I went on a hitching holiday around Cornwall with Robin, and I don't think of Robin as particularly lawless, but I do remember that we were in a shop early one morning. We'd been camping, and he whispered to me, "I'm going to nick something," in a way that sort of suggested he'd just been suddenly taken with this urge. So he did. He put something in his pocket. But then, as we were walking back down the road, we were going past a house, and he walked up the path and took a bottle of milk from the doorstep, which again I thought was very bold. You know, I mean, I wouldn't have done that, but like you, I'm a good boy, you know. But yeah, so I mean, maybe he was our rebellious friend.
So I think, I mean, it certainly give people the impression that we weren't exactly the common thieves that we hear about so often these days. I mean,
No.
I was always struck with guilt in anything that I did wrong in that respect, I have to say.
Yeah,
I
me
always
too.
think, certain things that are illegal, of course, are underage drinking. I mean,
Yes.
underage drinking is something where I think we probably, well, we know we did when we went out when we were sort of 16, 17, and we managed to get served in pubs. But I remember, apart from us, I mean, I think we soon worked out the pubs that would serve us, didn't we, really,
Yeah.
and frequented them. We looked reasonably old enough, and I don't think anybody was quite as observant in those days. But I do remember when I first started playing football, or the infamous Maidenhead Newton and Cattystock United FC in Dorset League 4, Dorset Division 4 South and West, that I'd be taken. I think it was 14 and a half, 15, something like that. And I'd be taken after the game into the pub by whoever was giving me a lift there, the blokes, the men. And it wasn't, I think it was the first time I went in, I had a Coke. The second time I went in, they bought me a pint and basically said, we were sat around one of the old pub tables, and they said, right, we've brought all these pints back. One of these is for you, Dave. But whatever you do, if you see anybody come into the pub who looks older and might, have a word with the landlord, or the landlord comes anywhere near, just make sure you put your pint under the table, so it looks like you're not drinking. And of course, it was easy because they were the jugs with the handles, rather than the straight glasses, so I could whip it under the table. And I remember for quite a few games after that, my hand just seemed to be taking a beer glass, going up and down from the table, up and down from the table, up and down from the table. And by the time these blokes had three or four pints, I'd only just about managed to drink one, because it wouldn't, I didn't get time. I was pretending to be just someone sitting there. But
How old were you
I was about 15, I think, then, maybe.
then?
To be honest, though, I didn't really feel the guilt that I felt with any other illegality then. It was more of sort of an excitement, really. And
Of course.
it's certainly not something I wish I hadn't done, because I was quite happy to do it. You felt quite grown up then, didn't you, really?
I remember another one that we did, Dave. At least I think it was with you. Do you remember when we both worked at a cafe in West Bay that, we were, I don't know, 13, 14 maybe. And I remember that they used to stack the bottles round the back of the cafe. And I can remember that, you got a refund on bottles. I think it was threepence. And I used to go round to the back of the cafe, take about three or four bottles, and then go round to the front and hand them in and get the discount for them. So, it didn't pay a lot, but I mean, it helped.
Kept you going, yeah. It was sort of almost like perpetual motion, really, wasn't it? It just,
Exactly.
like a continual circle of bottles.
Yeah, nobody ever seemed to know about that. Did you ever play Knockdown Ginger?
I can't. You often hear people talking about Knockdown Ginger and the other names it has and things like that. And I don't really ever recall doing that because I think basically living where we did on the council estate in Bedminster, everyone knew you there and would they'd soon know it was which group of kids it was because we were all out playing. So
Yeah.
it never really sort of happened for us.
No, I did. I also remember letting off a firework outside somebody's front door, a banger, which must have been quite alarming for them inside. I just actually remembered another Robin story, Dave, which again you will remember. And I got quite a vivid memory of this. We were driving out of Honiton up the long hill, going east. And in Robin's old van, do you remember, which was called the Mohican for some reason? And
Mohican, yes.
he was driving, and I think Rob was sitting in the front. And Robin wound the window down, and he suddenly said to Rob, "Take the steering wheel." And so Rob leant across and took the steering wheel. Robin still had his feet on the pedals, but he then leant the upper half of his body out of the window and waved the whole of the top of his body at cars coming in the other direction, which was hilarious. I mean, there's just no, it, again, it must have completely freaked people to see a driver leaning out of the driver window and waving both arms at advancing cars. But do you remember that?
I do remember it happening. I see. I may well have been in the other car at the time, which is the thing. So, as you say, it was the two cars, wasn't it? The other car, of course, is the one that before I had a driving license, I drove for a bit around Bridport when the owner Tony allowed me to, and nearly smashed it into the corner of Palmer's Brewery, of course, going
Really?
round the corner. Oh
Wow.
yes. And it, in fact, I think it was one of those cases. If Tony hadn't leaned across and wrenched the steering wheel a bit more, we would have probably taken the front wing off. I was
Yeah.
A going too fast, and B not really in control of it as we went round. So it was yeah, that's pretty illegal.
I think anybody listening to this, would see that we are not exactly hardened criminals, are we?
No, no,
We're,
no.
you know, we've got a very, very minor. And even the statute of limitation, probably most of these happened about 50 years ago or more. So we're probably,
Easily, yes, yeah.
you
Yeah,
know.
I do regret one illegality that I regret not doing was taking acid, and I never did. I never have done, but I was offered it when I was at college, when I was in a particularly miserable state about something, and I can remember thinking to myself at the time, I've read so many horror stories of people with flashbacks and having terrible trips and things that I said, no, that's okay, I won't bother. And in fact, the people who offered it to me, I remember seeing them sometime later, and they were really out of it at the time, and thinking, I think I dodged a bullet there because I didn't really want to experience what they were experiencing. But
No,
it's certainly a side of illegality that I haven't tried. I don't regret it, really, I have to say.
And I know another one that I mean, I don't really wish I hadn't done it. It was actually quite funny at the time, but when I was living in London, I was in a shared house, and I had a mini, and two of the other guys in the house had minis, and we'd noticed that there was a mini that had been parked back, got a quarter of a mile down the road, which had been there for a long time. It didn't seem to have ever moved. We thought to ourselves, well, we could actually do with some spare wheels. And there were about four or five of us in the house. And so one night we had a sort of a raid, and we all went up the road, and the three of us lifted the mini
Okay.
So that the other two could take wheels off, because I don't think I needed another wheel, but I think somebody else did. Anyway, we actually removed the wheels from this Mini and then just left it there, wheelless, because it wasn't a, you know, Minis were pretty small, and you know, we just took them because they were useful things to have, and wheeled them down the road late at night. Nobody seemed to, you know, do anything about it really, but
No.
you know, they came in useful, but it was again under the influence of alcohol, I think.
Yes, well, I mean, it's quite easy, isn't it, for us to say, well, of course, I was under the influence of whatever it might be. I remember trying to
Yes.
get under the influence of some cannabis, some grass once when I came home from college, and someone had given me a little pouch with some grass in it, and I remember getting at home and thinking, well, I can't possibly, smoke this here at the house. And living as I did in Maiden Newton at the time, you could walk up out of Maiden Newton uphill and then look down over it. So on a quiet Sunday, I remember walking up this hill, absolutely knackering hill to walk up. So lots of breathing heavily at the time, and then thinking, this is great. There's nobody around. I can, you know, I can. I'll have a go at smoking this. And I remember smoking it and waiting and thinking, I don't know, maybe this is just old or something, but nothing, absolutely nothing. Stuff where probably if some policeman had taken it off me, he'd have said, well, someone's giving you some ordinary grass out of the garden or something, because it nothing at all. And then having to walk all the way back down again, thinking, well, that was a waste of an hour completely, because no effect whatsoever.
No, I know. No, very much the same sort of story. I think that there's very much, you know, there's very little to say of us, our history on drugs, really. It's,
Yeah. I
you know.
remember, did you ever try the getting the black seeds out of bird seed and trying to grow them, when they said that
No.
these were cannabis seeds, apparently,
Really?
in wild bird seed. And whether it was apocryphal or not, I don't know. But I remember, sifting through some bird seed and taking all the little black seeds out, then trying to grow them, first of all on a windowsill at college, and then thinking, what happens if they're discovered? And so putting them outside, underneath the window outside, digging them into the ground outside, and then spending probably a fortnight of feeling absolutely petrified that the law was going to come along and say, what are these? What are you doing here? You're out on your ear. So once again, eventually digging them up and throwing them away. So, I don't think they were
Okay.
cannabis plants anyway, to be honest.
I've got one last one, Dave, which is a thing that you can't even do nowadays. And I don't know if you ever did this, but I can remember in West Bay going to the telephone box and picking up the phone, dialing 100, and when you get an answer saying, "Operator, get off the line, there's a train coming." Do you remember that? Did you ever do that?
I do remember doing it, because I think we thought we were hilariously clever doing that, weren't we?
Yeah, I know, but
Or saying,
you can.
I remember the other one that we used to do was you dial 100 and say to the operator, have you got the time? And they say yes, and you say, well, I've got the inclination.
Ah, the joys of this. Yeah, that's denied to young people now, you see.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I'm
One
listening.
from me as well, sort of a last one, back on stealing, or stealing in a way. Have I told you about the egg stealing at college at all?
No.
Didn't think I had. When I was at college and studying, rural studies as I did, they had a farm there with a few cows and sheep and that, but also some hens to lay eggs and things, which the college canteen refectory used to use in their cooking. It was all like a sort of a symbiotic relationship thing. And at the end of the day, there are quite a few of these hens. They would put these sort of trays of eggs, probably about 24 in each tray, stack them up on top of each other in the office of the department, rural studies department. And being very, very slim and skinny, one of the skinniest of my friends, when we'd had a few drinks, obviously, someone would say, "I'm hungry." And then we would sneak, tiptoe round to the block where the office was. And usually you could pry open not the main window, but the skylight at the top. And I'd be boosted up and go through the skylight, grab a tray of these eggs, hand them back out to the lads outside, and then they'd help me back through the window. And then we'd scurry off back to one of the rooms where someone had like a little Primus stove thing and make 24 egg omelets, basically. So these enormous omelets in a pan, very beautiful omelets because, rather than using one or two eggs, you used a whole tray to make an omelet and then portion it all up between everybody else. We were never discovered on that one. I think it's because they had quite a few trays, and I think nobody really counted. They just sort of put them, piled them up, and then took them to the canteen the next day. So nobody said, "Oh, there's a tray missing," because they didn't really know at the time. So yes, it was illegal. Yes, it was tasty.
Too many of those omelets, and you wouldn't have been able to get through the skylight, would you? You'd
This
have been.
was the thing. Yes, it was. I did manage to stay very slim in those days, not like nowadays, but yeah, very, very much so. And
I think
yeah.
I've come to the end of my stories of minor naughtiness. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think so. I think I've covered most of the things I was going to
So, I
talk
mean,
about with you.
if Houdini makes an appearance, do you have one of those stories that you would like to have removed from your past?
Well, I think the thing is that we're such wimps that none of the things that we did that were illegal would go down as something that, oh my God, the genie's got to get rid of that, would you really? I
Yeah,
mean,
I tend to agree with you. I mean, you do sort of feel for the people like the man with the polystyrene animals. You know, the barman who's gentleman's lavatory light bulb disappearing, the guy with the garage. I mean, any of those. But I'm pretty much in agreement with you that there. I think it could be a week off for the genie,
I think
actually.
the genie needs to, go and sun himself somewhere for a week and enjoy the rest from having to deal with our misdemeanors. Yeah.
Exactly. All the things that he's taken off our hands, we're
Yeah.
very grateful to him. So in this case, we're gonna own them all. We're gonna keep them.
We're gonna keep them. We're gonna dredge them up as tails when people can say, "Well, that's a bit pathetic, isn't it, really?"
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Dave, we will reconvene to do a subject that is very close to the hearts of both of us and the history of both of us, education.
Yes, that one.
But I think yes, we've covered all our minor law breaking pretty comprehensively, and I really don't expect a knock on the door from the police saying, "Oi,
No.
yeah, where's
I think,
that
as you said, the
polystyrene?"
statute of limitations has probably gone on most of those crimes now. I think we'll leave proper law breaking to proper criminals. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.